got your Bibles this morning or your phones with the Bible app. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we will start in verse 8. I want to talk to you today about something that I'm sure no one in this church deals with, but I do, is pressure. Yeah. Let's keep it on the surface for a minute, is you guys are building a church, starting right, seeing the groundwork done. There's no pressure there at all, right? Nah. No pressure when you're ever building anything. Everything always goes smooth. What about just in life in general? Any of us deal with pressure? Yeah, is any of us, let's say this, how many of us would say that you're good under pressure? Raise your hand. I kind of like it sometimes. I mean, I like when the pressure's on, because if it goes good, hey, I look like the hero, right? If it goes bad, they just kind of expect it, I guess. How many of us? But if you're not good under pressure, then what does that make us? How many of us in here are chokers? Anybody a choker? There's not one up here that says I am. A couple of them. A couple chokers. Listen, we're not chokers. And today I want to teach you how to preach to yourself under pressure. Listen, we are children of God. We are good under pressure. So we're going to talk about that. I did skip over. I want to say this. I want to say thank you guys for, once again, the great hospitality that is always shown to my family when we show up with the gift baskets and stuff like that. My kid has eaten more candy and grapes, so thank you. I have two girls, like David said, and I'll get to hear this one all the way home for 3 hours because she makes so much candy. So thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 8. It says this. It says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we are suffering in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted to us in answer to the prayers of many." Let's go ahead this morning and start this off with a word of prayer. Would you pray with me? Father God, we come to you and we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning, God. God, I pray that this morning that we'd be changed differently than the way we walked in here. God, I pray that our hearts would be penetrated. God, I thank you for the message that Paul gives us, as it still applies to us greatly today. Father, it's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, as we've read that, I want you to turn to someone and say, "I am going to preach under pressure." Well, one guy did it. Thank you. Okay. High five someone and say, now that you said that, the pressure's on. Pressure's on. Listen, life is a pressure cooker. Listen, as I stand up here today, I feel qualified to preach that because this, standing up here, is a pressure cooker. They say the two most feared things in life is, number one, death. Number two, public speaking. Listen, this is a pressure cooker. There is times, especially like today, it's a new church, nobody knows me really much, and even when I took over the church down there, that I think, you know, like even today, David does a good job. They all do a great job down here singing, right? Amen. What would be wrong if we just sang all Sunday? I mean, there's no need for me to get up here. It would be a great Sunday sing, right? Nothing wrong with that. Or I'm sure Matt probably has a pocket full of sermons. It'd be great to hear from Matt on Sunday, right? It'd be great. You know, it's a pressure cooker, and so I sat there, I'm thinking ways to weasel out of this, because sometimes it's just too much, and you're just nervous. Listen, the first service, short and sweet, nervous. kind of have the jitters. It's getting a little bit out now, though, because y'all guys are a little more lively than the first service. It is a pressure cooker. And listen, life sometimes is just a pressure cooker. You think about pressure in sports. They don't ever remember the good things, but they never forget the bad things, right? Think about a field goal kicker, not the job I'd want to have. They never remember the ones you make, but they never forget the ones you miss, right? Let's think about this, the 10th round of the NFR. They don't remember all the ones you caught before that, but when it's on the line and you miss, no one ever forgets. Listen, moms and dads, it's what separates the great ones apart is the parents that are great under pressure. Pressure is real. Listen, this world we live in is a pressure cooker. Even to the simple things of setting this place up every Sunday, there's a lot of pressure. I just got back from Falls Creek. We took a group of children down, or kids down there. I guess they're not children. I'm getting old. I ain't old as Bo, though. We took them down there, and I took some equipment, our speakers. Man, I tore stuff up. I got speakers that are blown. I mean, and just the travel of moving stuff every week, things break. And so there's pressure. I know Matt feels the pressure of getting everything set up just right. Matt deals with the pastor, and they're mean, and they want everything to be perfect. I know. I called my guy this morning. Please, Ryan, make sure you do this. He's 21 years old, and I know he's going to mess it up. He's praying not. But it is. It's just pressure. Life's pressure. If you have children, there's a lot of pressure there. If you have a job, there's pressure there. If you have a family and money to deal with, there's pressure there. So this morning, I want to take the chance to teach you how to preach to yourself under pressure. Because reality is we can sit here and compare who has more pressure, who has less pressure. Listen, the reality is pressure is going to come. What are you going to do when it gets here is what we have to figure out and understand. So, looking at the text, I want to go to my first point is this. I want you to tell the devil, I have been here before. I've been here before. Every one of us in this room have been under pressure in some way, shape, or form. But isn't it amazing that when pressure comes, it's like the devil tells us, oh, look, this is the first time this has ever happened. And we go into a panic, and we go into panic mode, and we freeze up. And we lose it. And sometimes we go have an argument or whatever it is, but we freeze up like it's never happened before. And so we have to tell ourselves, hold on, I've been here before. The other day we was at the roping pen, and we had some fresh steers to break in. And I roped this steer, and somehow the rope got caught underneath my horse's tail. And so you know how that is they lock up. It's hard to get it out. And I go into a panic. I'm thinking, listen, when I hit the ground anymore, I don't bounce. I stick. And things break. And so I thought, oh my gosh. I went into a panic. And then I thought, you know, this isn't the first time this has happened to me. I hate to admit it. Not the first time. Just step off. Just step off and slow down. And so I want us to be able to tell ourselves, I've been here before. Looking at the text, it says this. It says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure. Listen, Paul is talking to the church of Corinth right here, and he does not even tell us what kind of pressure he was under. I know when he wrote the letter, he was in prison. And we know it had to have been pretty bad because Paul was persecuted for his faith to extremes, beaten, flogged, sped upon, all these things. And he says, I was under great pressure. So much pressure that I didn't even know what I was going to do. And I want you to look at this word, and it kind of gives us an idea of how much pressure Paul was under. Is it says that he was in so much pressure so that he even despaired even of life. You know the word despair in the Greek, what that means? It means the unavailability of an exit. Paul says, I was under so much pressure that I see no way out. There was no way out up. There was no way out of this down. I look to my right and I look to my left, and I seen no way out of this situation that I was in. That's how much pressure Paul was under. Now, you think about it. How many of us have ever been in those situations where we see no way out? Or maybe the devil says, you know, there's no way out of this situation. It's going to get the best of you this time. Listen, I understand your finances are completely out of whack, and so there's no way out. You might as well just crawl up in that fetal position and give up. Or you're having some family problems, and listen, there's no way out. Can we get real for a minute this morning and really say that we all have been under some pressure? Listen, life's real and life happens. And just because even though, you know, sometimes people will even look at me and say, well, you're a preacher. Listen, I feel pressure. Not from just standing up here, but I have a wife and two kids. I have pressure. I'm a man in my house, and I know I have to provide for my family. There's a lot of pressure there. Moms, let's just be honest. A mother makes the home. There's a lot of pressure there. You know, us dads aren't very good at making lunch sometimes or doing the laundry. But someone's got to do it, and there's pressure there. And the devil sometimes wants to just tell us, you know what, you can't handle it. Just stop in your tracks. It's over. Can I encourage you today to tell yourself, you know what? I've been here before. You know that my brother was a U.S. Marine. And I've watched movies, and I've never really comprehended what the U.S. military was about until I had a family member in it. And he come back from boot camp, and he was telling me all the things that he went through and all the things that they did. And I thought, you know what? That's just me. You're the property of the U.S. They should treat you a little better than that. And he would come back with these chants. And listen, they weren't very nice as he sang his cadence, running around the neighborhood and scaring all the children back in their house. And I said, why? I don't completely understand. Why would you be put in those situations? Why would they want to torture you? I mean, for lack of better words, in those situations. And he said, listen, so that when it does happen, I can say, you know what? I've been there before. I've done that. Guys, we have to be prepared and know, you know what? I've been in this situation before. And so when the devil throws this in my face and I feel the pressure, I've been here before. My next point is this. Welcome to Thousand Hills Church, but it is, I'm not that important. God does not need you, but God does want you. He says this, if you'll look with me, I believe in verse 10. He says, He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us, and on Him we have set our hope, that He will continue to deliver us. I think I missed it. Okay, here we go. But this happened, excuse me, go back to verse 9. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but that we will rely on God. Guys, too many times we try to pretend like it's all about us. God does not need us. We are not that important. I asked this question earlier to the first service, and people looked at me like I was crazy. But just go with me here for a minute and think about this. Sometimes God puts enough pressure on us to get back what was His to begin with. Okay? We have to carry the load, but we don't have to carry the weight of the situation. Let me ask this question and pose this question for a minute. What if you didn't take care of your kids? Have you ever thought of that? I have two girls. There's times I go outside, I'm thinking, Lord, please, someone else take care of these girls. My girls are the first girls in my family in 48 years. Yeah, give a brother a break. When they said you're having a girl, I said, what parts? I didn't know. Listen, so ask yourself this question. What would happen if you didn't take care of your kids? I had a little kid down here. It's hot. Reality is the world we live in. Someone's going to take care of your kids, right? Let's just be, I mean, if you said, oh, I'm fine, someone's going to take care of your kids. God does not need you. He wants you, but he doesn't need you. You see, those are his kids. They belong to him. If they don't get that toy that was supposed to come in the mail for Christmas, and it's a day late, Mom, they're going to be okay. God is not, oh, well, we put so much pressure on ourselves. What if the yard didn't get mowed? Oh, my gosh, our neighbors are going to think we're so tacky. Hashtag, they already know. That we're not that important. Guys, God doesn't need us. He wants us. And when you can tell yourself that, listen, it puts a whole new spin on this whole pressure situation. Let me find where I was at here real quick. Sorry. I get to going. I forget exactly where I was. Look with me again in verse 9. It says, indeed our hearts were filled with the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Listen, Paul's saying it wasn't about us. We had to stop putting all the pressure on ourselves and give back to God what was already his. The pressure's off. When you can say, you know what, he doesn't really need me, the pressure kind of gets off. You know, I like this one too, is people always pray for patience. Listen, if you're going to pray for patience, you might as well pray for a lot of pressure. Amen, right? That's right. Listen, you pray for patience and you're going to get pressure. The pressure's on. We live in a world where there's lots of pressure. But it's not about us. We serve a God that can make a way out of no way. When we can step back and say those things, he makes a way out of no way. You'll look with me for my third point here. And this is the one I want you guys to get really good, is this. I am better under pressure. I am better under pressure. I am Hooper Nike. That's a Greek word that says this. Hooper, meaning greater. Nike, like our shoes, means champion. I am a champion. I am Hooper Nike. I am better under pressure. I'm a champion because I am a child of God. I'm a winner. The pressure's on. Bring it on. Because listen, devil, if you're gonna set me in these situations and God's going to say, here, give me some more pressure. Let me show you what they'll do because I will get the glory. Bring on the pressure. Guys, you are building a church, a great church for a great cause. I talk to Bo quite often, and I get to hear the updates of your church. It's exciting. It's amazing to hear those things. I had a young man, I believe last week, that was up here for the high school finals, and he came and he said, I introduced myself to Bo. I said, good. He said, he's unique. I said, he is. He's a great guy. And he said, that guy's got it going on. That church is awesome over there. Listen, that kid's from Rush Springs, Oklahoma. You're doing a great work. Be ready for some great pressure and enjoy it when it comes. It's not about you, it's about him. And when you can step back and say, I'm great under pressure, bring it on. You're champions, you're Hooper Nike. You're children of God. Look with me, or I'll read it. I don't know if Matt has it up there. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says this. Moreover, let us also be full of joy, and now let us exalt and triumph in our troubles, and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardships produce patience and unswerving endurance. That kind of sounds crazy, right? Let me rejoice in my sufferings because I know that I win. I know that I serve a God that is a God that is more than a conqueror. He is great. And I am his child. Guys, quit allowing life's pressures get us down. You have to preach to yourself under pressure. Slow down. Like my situation, the rope cutter, his tail. Just get off. Stop for a second. It's not about you. Pressure. I am better under pressure. Pressure creates power. Only certain things can be produced by pressure. Only certain things, I want you to think of that, can be produced by pressure. I told you guys that I'm really good at running from Jesus. Well, I had stepped out as a youth minister a few years ago, and I told my wife, I said, listen, I am done with church. I'm just exhausted. I'm tired. I just want to step out of ministry for a while. And so I took a position, was just working, going to church. And not that I think I'm someone special, but listen, I knew God had a calling on my life. And so I said, you know what, I'll just run for a while and just pretend like it's not even there. Let me tell you about how much pressure you got to allow to produce what he wants produced. I knew what I felt God had called me to, but it took the pressure to get me out of my situation. Pressure produces a lot of things. When you're willing to step back and understand it, and preach to yourself under pressure, and don't let it beat you in the battle. Pressure. I want you to think of a situation we read about in the Bible when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's down there praying, and he says, Father, if this cup could pass from me, let it be done. That's a lot of pressure right there. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the pressure that Jesus was under as he was knelt down, knowing that what had to take place? And what did that pressure create? Forgiveness. Pressure. I want you to think of one more scenario when you're done. Is this. I think about David and Goliath. Any of you ever got a Goliath in your life? I'm not talking about just that big old boy. I'm talking about that big old situation too. That Goliath in your life. Now I want you to think about David. He was just a young boy. Maybe they say maybe just 13 years of age, just a young man. And they said that David walked up to that camp they were stationed at, basically, and he said, you know, I want to fight that giant. And Saul said, no, listen, David, the pressure is too great in this situation. This is a little bigger than you're used to, young man. Just go play with your sheep. We have your brothers here to take care of the situation. And David said, let me tell you something, Saul. I've been here before. You know, you see, I serve a God that delivered me from the hand of a lion and from the paw of a bear. I've been here before, and I'm pretty daggum good under pressure. You know, you just see it as five rocks in my pocket, but it's a little more than that. Pretty good under pressure, and it's not all about me, Saul. It's about Jesus, and I know who I'm walking up to battle with. Were you willing to be a David and fight the Goliath? Think about that young man as he stood before them giants, and Goliath walks out with a sword that's bigger than he is. And he says, bring on the pressure, baby, because I serve a God that's big enough to get me out of this situation. Because I serve a God that can make a way out of no way. Guys, when you can begin to preach to yourself under pressure, great things will be produced out of pressure. Maybe this morning you feel like the pressure is just really, really heavy. In just a moment, I want you to have the opportunity lay it down. Listen, I know there's not an altar here, but you're in the greatest place as any. And when you get up today, I'm going to ask you today that whatever it is that's holding you down today, that you just leave it in that seat when you walk out of this room. Because here's the reality is, you're good under pressure today. If you're a child of God, you are a Hooper Nike. You are more than a champion, and you can do that. Because you serve a God that makes a way out of no way. You're good under pressure. Maybe today you don't know. You just don't know if you're completely a follower of Jesus. Here's what I want to tell you today is listen, if you don't know, then you're not going to be very good under pressure because it is about you. You see, I have this relationship with this God that I can give everything to and I can walk away. Like I said earlier, I have to carry the load, but I don't have to carry the weight. He carries it for me. Listen, we serve a God that makes us great in pressure situations. Will you give it to Him today? I'm going to ask if you would just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. And I'm going to ask, with no one looking around, is maybe today you say, I just need some prayer because I'm in a pressure cooker. I want to ask you this today with no one looking around. Just slip your hand up because I want to pray for you. I got you. Got you from the middle. Hands going up everywhere. Got you over my left. Listen, we live in a world that's a pressure cooker, but when we can begin to preach to ourselves under pressure, guys, listen, the pressure can't get the best of us. Maybe this morning you say, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know for sure if I have a God I can give that to. Listen, no one's looking around and no one's going to come and pick you up and carry you down to the front and make you have to give a sermon. I want to ask you this, is today if you say, I just want to know who Jesus is. I want to ask you this morning with no one looking around so I can just pray for you. Just slip your hand up. Got you over here. Hey, here's what's unique about Thousand Hills Church is no one embarrasses anyone and they don't call you out. And you've got that card that's a white card but it says orange card. And all you got to do is fill that out. I'm going to ask you this morning, don't do the Josh Abbott syndrome that I did for many years. So I would say, okay, I'll do it. I'll count to three and I'll make that decision after I count to three. And I count to three about 3,000 times. Or don't tell yourself this. I'll do it when I come next time. Listen, guys. That's the devil speaking to you. Listen, today, win the battle. Win the battle today and just fill that card out so that people can pray for you because I promise you this, you cannot do it on your own. You can contact the church at that number that will be on the screen. Simple, just send them a text. Call them. Listen, Bo is a great man. He has a great vision for this church and he would love nothing more than the opportunity to speak with you. Father God, we come to you this morning, God, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand before Thousand Hills Church once again. God, I'm thankful for my friend, Bo. Because of his faithfulness to do what you called him to do, I stand here today. God, I pray for the many that raised their hands this morning for prayer. God, you know the situation. And God, I pray that they would feel your presence in that situation they're needing prayer over this morning. God, I pray that they would feel your comfort, your love. And God, be able to preach to that situation and say, you know what? I'm good under pressure. I'm not a choker. God, for those that raised their hand today, just wanting to maybe know who you are. God, I pray that they would take that first step. That first step of letting someone know
they want to know about Jesus. God, maybe today they need to come and just ask someone before they walk out those doors. Father, we thank you for the many things you're using this church to do. I pray that you would continue to pour on great pressure on Thousand Hills, because pressure produces great things. They're ready for your pressure, Father. God, we thank you. Until next time, in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys once again for the opportunity for us to be here.